Influencers is brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. ACG Wholesale, with quality service and great prices. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new norm environment, post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and insight of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. And today, we delve into the minds of a Bahamian religious leader who has been gaining consistent and increasing visibility over the past several weeks, not only because of his established function of being at the fore as a gatekeeper of morality within our nation, but now in addition, also because of the extended reach of the Religious Council, which he heads as president, now probing and delving into issues impacting and being generated from a national health crisis and concern of COVID-19 and its rollout exercise. Today, influencer Bishop Delton Fernander, pastor of New Destiny Baptist Cathedral and president of the Bahamas Christian Council, the BCC, sits with me today to discuss church and state post-COVID-19. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Seas Cod Liver Oil. 7Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Seas.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is influencer Bishop Delton Fernander, pastor of New Destiny Baptist Cathedral. Also, of course, we know that he sits as the president of the Bahamas Christian Council. Welcome to the show.
Good to be back and glad to be in your presence.
Thank you. Listen, I've been looking forward to this particular interview now for about a week or so. Lots going on concerning the BCC and really speaking to the issues that we are faced with as a people, and that is a good thing. And we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But right before we do that, of course, we always start off at the top of the show dealing with the whole purpose of the show, which is to encourage persons to utilize the power of their influence to bring about positive change. And so with that said, I would like for you to take just a few minutes and to speak very briefly about the two most influential persons in your life who have impacted the man that you are today. And what would you say are the overarching values or lessons that they have instilled in you?
Well, the first person I would say was a major influence in my life was my father. My father, a police officer, one who became an investigator, that he was always very, very concerned about the ability for me to lead. In other words, that he wasn't concerned about what were your problems, what were your challenge. He would always say to me, look at that problem and find some way to get better. Look at what you're dealing with. Look at where we're at. Look at the struggles we have and find some way. So my dad wasn't the typical parent. You have to get A's and B's. I remember, and I passed it on to my children, he would say, give me your best. And we'll always start with my weakest subject. So these were my weakest subject. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, is this your best? Mm-hmm. Have you given it your best? Mm-hmm. How do we strategize mm-hmm. to get better?
That's so encouraging.
And so he really, really mm-hmm. moved me to the next level. I believe the next influence in my life is a negative influence. I had a teacher when I was in high school mm-hmm. who told us that we weren't good enough, that he would use big words. And he was my English teacher.
Oh, I got you.
And he would use words like imbecile, you are imbecile.
Lord.
And words that we really didn't have a grasp of.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would speak down to us and, mm-hmm. and really make it seem like we weren't good enough. And mm-hmm. one of the things, sitting there, I guess, again, from the influence of my father, it was always, I'll show you, you know, we're yeah. just as good. We're going to give it all I got. And, mm-hmm. and even if I'm not as good as the rest, mm-hmm. one thing I'm going to say is I'm going to get better.
So he provoked you into greatness.
Yes. Challenged us.
That's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing. And with that said, now let's go into talking a little bit about the whole formation of the Christian Council. You know, because in listening to conversations, the dialogue and the comments, especially mm-hmm. recently as it relates to the council, especially with your recent comments as it relates to your report with COVID-19 and the vaccine and the impact and the rollout, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to be getting into more details with that in just a bit. But help persons to understand how the council actually came about, its formation, its purpose, its function.
The then Prime Minister, Sir Lyndon Penlan, I guess, looked around the world and saw what is known as the Council of Churches. Mm-hmm. In the United States, you will have city districts that move into larger influences around governmental mm-hmm. discussions. And so he came back to the Bahamas and wanted to enact of parliament, that mm-hmm. which is called the Bahamas Christian Council. So we didn't sit down and say, you know, churches, let's get together, let's form an organization, let's make it this voice to the government. No, the government said we wanted a place that we could ask the church's decided opinion, and that's a legal term. Mm-hmm. So when you get papers from the UN that will ask you what is going to be the state's position on gender bias, mm-hmm. But then they would write the council and say, we have to give a report on our next meeting of the UN.
Okay.
And we would like to know the considered opinion of the Christian government. And we get a lot of those. Some I can talk about, some I can't talk about.
Okay.
and we write. Mm-hmm. And when I say we write, we first consult and then we form a committee mm-hmm. like we did on the vaccine.
Yes.
We let that committee of professionals. And I know a uh-huh. lot of times you believe that it's only pastors do it. And let me say, I am very, very humbled to serve. This is my second term, mm-hmm. and I'm glad to be back. And I'm
congratulations.
Very humble.
That's
thank
right.
You. Thank mm-hmm. you. I'm very humble at the caliber of pastors we have. Mm-hmm. People think that all of our backgrounds just seminary and preaching.
Right, theology.
Whether it's police officers, teachers, doctors, yes. lawyers, we got it all.
A cadre of professionals.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I put it in their hands, and then they go and get lay people. Mm-hmm. And that's my standing joke with any ministry is I could walk in this building and find a Christian.
Uh-huh.
I'll find someone who goes to somebody's church, uh-huh. and they will help us. And so they, even up to justices and Supreme Courts and all that,
okay.
we have them way into it. And mm-hmm. and then we come together, they present to us, we vote on it, and say this will be our opinion on the matter. We write that back to government, and
okay.
that's our opinion on the matter.
What do you mean when you say that we vote on it?
We vote on it. Sometimes we don't agree on stuff. So uh-huh. so we'll have a paper, we'll go through it, we'll tear it apart, and then we'll say, okay, council, all of you who are members, is this going to be the position of the council,
mm-hmm.
yay or nay? Or you could abstain.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes okay. we can put forth something that I might disagree with as president and get outvoted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because sometimes people think the council is, you know, you go in there, you tell them what you want. Mm-hmm. These are leaders.
So it operates like a democracy,
has
so to speak.
Has okay. to, because right. these are leaders. Mm-hmm. These are denominational heads. And most of them have been doing this longer than I've been president.
Mm-hmm. And you have a representation, of course, of all of the denominations represented here within the Bahamas.
The Bahamas, yes. We have all denominations. We're now moving to what I call, this is the first time ever, we have a first vice who's non-denominational.
Okay.
That's never happened in the history of the council. And so under my tenure, we're more diverse. We have more women. We have an equal split of the council in terms of leadership. And now we have, for the first time, a non-denominational leader who is the first vice. And we've got to figure out as a council, how do we capture that aspect of the council? Because those voices are still as important as those recognized by the state. And it's a wrestle because a document is produced and they name the denominations. And until that is changed, these are the ones the state recognizes.
Currently, what is the denomination of the Bahamas recognized as the national denomination of the Bahamas? I know overall as the religion, Christianity overall. But well, as a denomination, know, is it know, still it, Anglican, I think it was?
It still makes reference to the state church, but there's a wrestle afoot that if we're no longer a colony, how can it be the state church?
Okay,
and
understood.
So, yes, there are those who see that every event happens, quote unquote, at the state church and that kind of stuff. And that's a big, decisive problem.
Okay.
Because are we saying that we are still a colony? And because we are a colony, I mean, we would have had a service to recognize the Duke of Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And it was, quote unquote, at the state church.
Okay.
That's something that's empirically wrong. And one of the things I've done under my leadership is move it around.
Okay.
You know, I all of the churches downtown
and
area.
And the state church is?
Is the Anglican Church.
Okay. That's what I was asking specifically.
But I'm saying to you that it isn't, because it would have been, but we're no longer a colony.
Okay, understood.
And so to say that, although I said that, is a misnomer.
Okay.
Because we're no longer a colony, unless we're saying we still are.
Okay, so as the president of the council, what do you consider should be named or
There's
titled
no
as
church.
The state? There is no state church.
That any state function should be moved around because really—
To the various denominations and or non-denominational—
Correct. It should be more
religious
around.
Organizations.
And one of the
and
things,
why do you feel that this, it should be that way?
It has to be that way because this country is made up of many, many people. Although we are under the Christian banner, we all fit in different denominations, different flavors of worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and to say that this is the way, the only thing the state recognizes, it's a terrible thing to say to your country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible thing to say. Now, no disrespect, you know, I'm a product of the Anglican system, and most people who know me know that. But those days are gone. Mm-hmm. There is no state church in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
That's a very powerful statement, President of the Bahamas Christian Council, Bishop Fernanda, and I understand your reasoning. You know, I was going through and just doing some reading up, you know, I'm preparing to interview you today, and I came across the table of precedents for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I found it very interesting to see the placement for the council. I said, wow, at number 14 it is now. And to give it some context, I will actually go through these, okay? We have the Governor General, then the Prime Minister, then the Chief Justice, then the Deputy Prime Minister, then the Leader of the Opposition, then the President of the Court of Appeal, then the President of the Senate, then the Speaker of the House of Assembly, followed by the Justices of the Court of Appeal, followed by the President of the Bahamas Christian Council, who sits before me today. And then after or underneath that position, your position, the Parliamentary Secretaries, the members of the House of Assembly, Secretary to the Cabinet. I was a bit astounded. How do you feel that you use this position that really comes with it a tremendous amount of influence as it relates to impacting, hopefully, I guess, the overall view and outlook of the government of the Bahamas as is?
You know, it comes with a sense of humility because a lot of people don't know that. And sometimes they can get way out of place. Like I can think about something I had to do and they were saying to the council, we have to do A, B, and C. And sometimes you have to tell them, really, check with the Attorney General, because that's not how it is. Or you'll remind them that I think, and you know, you use the council as general, that you have to remind people that we have a place in the order of this society.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can...
A very prominent place.
Sometimes we can play it back, and you could run over us, and then we could come back and remind you that that's not how this country runs. That's not how this is supposed to happen. And so many times I sit back and I see things happen, and I don't push it, or I don't push the council, I don't push that things should happen this way, because sometimes I think this kind of stuff could get to your head. You know, you could feel that you have a right to things and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so I'd rather that sometimes stay in the pages.
Okay.
Done to be executed.
I got you.
But I remember sitting out, and this is when it really hit me. I was sitting out out in the field. You know, nobody was there. We were recording Independence last year, and we were getting ready to receive a dignitary. And the protocol said, "You are the highest person of state out here, sir."
Oh, wow. That's when it hit.
That's when it really, he said, "You are the highest person of state. We need you. Right now."
And you had to arise.
And I said to myself, wow. I mean, with all of the people who run this country, you came to the conclusion tonight
that you
were the highest person in the state here, and we needed you in this formal capacity.
According to the president's lineup that we just, you know, heard.
And you could count on protocol to do that. And when I said that, even when people brush you aside, even when people don't want to hear you, and you know, someone jokingly said to me a while back, he said, "The power of your office is they can't turn you away." And I said, "What you mean? I mean, anybody could anyway." He said, "Not if you got that kind of precedence." And I never really understood what they were saying, but it's the truth. I mean, you got to return my letter. If I write you in the office, I'm seeking information on A, B, and C.
Yeah.
You could choose not to do it. I just sent a letter to the AG. Say, I have written to, just like a prime minister would have done, or any of the justices would have done, but I've written to X, Y, Z, and I haven't received documents that have been requested. And it's their duty to go and get that.
Yes. You know, in Matthew 5, I was thinking about the whole purpose and function of the church as it relates to society anywhere around the world, of course, because, you know, it's founded upon the rock, the foundation of the word of God.
Amen.
And Matthew 5, of course, referring to the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, as the salt and the light of the world. And the world there, the actual original Greek, is the cosmos. And I said, let me look up this word and see exactly what this word means. Of course, I have heard many clergymen talk about what the meaning of the word is, but I wanted to see for myself. And looking it up, I found this: an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government, or structured society and systems. And that made me say, wow. So
God did that.
Yes, he did. Now, according to with the BCC here in the Bahamas, how do you feel the BCC is carrying out its role as the salt and the light in the world as it relates to the world being the cosmos?
Well, I believe that during successive tenures of presidents, that we've had to deal with different places and times in our society. And one of the essence of salt, sodium chloride, is that it extracts sometimes that infection that is going on in society. And many times when the council speaks or we deliberate or we do something, there is that knee-jerk reaction of anger, you know, this fury of you need to be quiet, you need to say, they need to stay in their corner. And it tells me that salt is extracting the inflammation, that, that if you put salt on a cut, it will hurt sometimes. It's pulling out. And so I'm very proud that the council has made some definitive stance on some things. We realize that we have to influence people rather than tell people. And so I say to my comrades all the time, we don't have governmental power to put things in law. And sometimes even when we say it's not good to put things in law, they still go around and do it anyway. But we've got to influence people more than tell them. We've got to be able to point the way. And here comes the light now. So there's a dark area. We want to shine that light, not only to show up what is in that area, but to show you where you need to go. The word ought to be the light unto your part. Here we are as a society making some critical decisions about medical marijuana. And we did the same thing about gambling. And there are going to be some consequences. Have you considered those? That's what the council, it rings that bell.
Yes.
Have you considered the consequences? Have you considered? You put that out there. Now we got chips and gummy bears and what's not poisoning our children off the bat. At what point do we listen? And I guess that's the challenge of the council. You can do your job to the best of your ability, and there still will be a bill in the past mm-hmm. before election.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is the church's responsibility and role to be the voice, yes,
yeah.
To light the way, mm-hmm. right? But still, ultimately, just mm-hmm. as it is with salvation, mm-hmm. there is a choice to be made.
Yeah,
the choice is always on the table. So there's a choice to be made when it comes to the seriousness of one's salvation,
correct.
Where they will spend eternity.
Correct.
Imagine
much less
in the context
things.
Of what it is that we're talking about today. Right? Yeah, so that was a very, very, very good piece of insight right there. So let me just piggyback then a little bit on something that you said just a second ago. You spoke about it drawing out the infection. If something is drawing out an infection or what's causing disease or what's causing harm, mm-hmm. that means that it is the cure.
Mm-hmm.
That means that it is the cure. All right, so as it relates to the BCC functioning as the salt and the light within a Bahamian society, in which way or ways do you believe that the BCC is contributing towards being the cure as it relates to poverty? And I want us to go down the line as it relates to some of the social ills that we're faced with.
Okay.
We're going to begin with poverty.
Let me say this. Do not think of the BBC,
the BCC,
CC, yeah, mm-hmm. as a entity that is one unit. We are mm-hmm. all of the churches in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Social outreach is a major part of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If the church pulls out its social outreach in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. social service will close down tomorrow.
Mm-mm. That's a powerful statement.
We were the original social services.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you like it or not, every day in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, there's some outreach happening by a church, whether it's mm-hmm. food, clothing, counseling,
mm-hmm.
Rental assistance. A lot of the programs that the state cannot handle. Some
yes.
of your orphanages and that kind of stuff. Churches run those. I mean, mm-hmm. these are things that the church breed into, or the church came up with, the church saw a need. And so when people are at a place where they cannot find food, I mean, even the government food program is being run through churches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we are that front line of people who is one teaching about how to manage money, what mm-hmm. do we should do, being good stewards of the money, and then being that social assistance to the place you can. When I say the place you can, we've run a marathon now from I've been president. We've had two hurricanes at different levels. We've ran into a pandemic.
Yes.
That is at this level. So
mm-hmm.
so the church has been running at a pace that only God could sustain.
Because mm-hmm.
I know a lot of times people forget about Ragged Island. They forgot about Auckland's and the places that were devastated. We did our part in providing some of the osmosis systems. And we don't need the press to cover those stuff because we were accessed. We went out.
Mm-hmm.
When Dorian came in, all of the things that we really thank God for, and, you know, someday we'll do a post-evaluation. But these were church groups that came in. Hands for Hunger are extended of churches. And we got some of the international partners that we have around the world to
mm-hmm.
come to the Bahamas. You know, when you see Samaritan Purse and you see that cross, people forget that that's a church group.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Christian group.
Organization, that's right.
ARC came into here, that is the evangelistic group for around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching on TV, the kitchen group. Now they're going into farming and putting grants for farming now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The water plant that I saw open up in Grand Bahama.
Yes.
These were groups that were brought in from Israel and some of the stuff that takes place.
So faith-based organizations.
And yes. So the church has evolved into mm-hmm. into something that I think a lot of people don't really realize, that I have to remind them that we don't always have to wear the big cross or mm-hmm. have to carry the big Bible. To have a big influence in society. And so
mm-hmm.
As it relates to poverty, I believe that the you know, now we're involved in farming and the backyard farming initiative, and you'll be amazed what we have contributed
mm-hmm.
to that. We are trying to put together a fund. Obviously, COVID would have really, really destroyed that momentum,
mm-hmm.
That we could kind of have a fund that will be capital investment fund, that we start taking ownership of some of our society.
Okay.
So that we can get real dividends, that we can get real returns
mm-hmm.
of what God is doing in the Bahamas. I can't see us being to the level we are in tourism
mm-hmm.
and not have a hotel owned by us. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Bahamians. Mm-hmm. And we can do it.
So this is on the drawing board.
Well, we've been thinking this way. Obviously, God has to give the timing of it.
It's major. Mm-hmm.
Give the timing of it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it is in the post time when mm-hmm. people are off the scene that someone will say, well, hey, you know, they were the major influence in this or this took place.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not good to shed a light on what all we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of it, sometimes people get egos and, you know, they feel, well, I'm going to pull back because they're getting the credit for an mm-hmm. XYZ. So sometimes we just sit back and just let it go.
Yeah. Sometimes that's exactly what you have to do, you know. And for those persons probably just tuning in, what we're talking about right now, I'm sitting here with the president of the Bahamas Christian Council, Bishop Dalton Fernander, and we're talking about how the church and its purpose as salt and light in a Bahamian society is really being the cure and pulling out the infection, pulling out those agents that are causing disease within a Bahamian society. And Bishop was just talking about just now how it's influences the church as a BCC as it relates to poverty. Now we're going to have a discussion as it relates to education. Of course, we know that so many of the prominent, you know, noted schools, okay, are
Your
headed
entire, you know,
by,
I was at another conversation and
headed by religious organizations.
Yeah, we were at COVID. We were in a COVID meeting, and I was able to sit back and tell the prime minister, you're going to have a crash of your private school system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody in the room were like, why? I said, because we took on Abaco. We took on all of these children free of charge into the system of private school system.
How is that going?
This
is a great follow-up spot.
It is rough now. When I say it's rough, and people have no idea what it takes to run a multi-million dollar educational system when there's no income, when government and hotel workers used to be the people you could count on
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in terms of paying their school fee. And I know we like to believe, oh, you make all that money XYZ. We take on a lot of people who cannot pay.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to brag about it because then more people will come and be, oh, you know, I can't. But we made ourselves available to mm-hmm. take on Grand Bahamas. Still must grandmama's backer, but you know, mm-hmm. all of the Catholic, Anglican, Baptist educational systems said
in both Abaco and Grand Bahama?
Yes, we are here. Mm-hmm. We're going to open up those schools that remain open mm-hmm. and send the children.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them in.
About how many would you say, just an estimate?
Well, I know the Baptist
between Grand Bahama and Abaco, they came.
100 and almost 200 students. So if that's the ratio with the 7-day, the Anglican, the Catholic, you say we took on 600, 700 students. From
600, 700 students?
From kindergarten straight up. You heard the speaker talk about the migration. I don't think it's really
hit
the populace that every school-age child that was in these affected
right.
areas,
yes.
even if the parents didn't move out, the children sent them out because they needed to continue their education.
Okay, and I guess these children, of course, would be living with relatives here in New Providence.
Correct.
That just hit me like right here just now. That is major.
I understand.
You know, that is major. So what other, let's just stick a pin right there just for a minute. So what is happening as it relates to taking care of those students who came in from Grand Bahama, mm-hmm. who came in from Abaco, and their overall holistic care outside of the academic structure?
Well,
there's the mental, there's the psychological,
spiritual. It's a total package that is going on. So there has been a finding of where they kind of feel their spiritual development will take place. So, you know, they're quote unquote step family now.
Okay.
Would have found themselves in a church. And
okay.
I think
okay.
about New Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
We might have had six families that are brand new to New Destiny and mm-hmm. they're getting involved and they're transitioning in. And interestingly enough, some are transitioning are mostly Grand Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Bahamas going back to Grand Bahama,
yeah,
I guess. More so than Abaconians.
Getting back up on his feet more
yeah,
so, yes.
Yeah, more so than Abaconians. Mm-hmm. And so those people are, you know, sometimes they would say to me, you know, Rev, you know, I love you. I love the church. I can't wait to go home.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I can't wait to go back
that.
Home.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll say, you know, you're my Nassau bishop. You're my Nassau mm-hmm. pastor. I love you, pastor. But I can't wait
uh-huh.
to get back to my church. Get back.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
it's almost that feeling where they're here, but they're thinking about back home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we've got to figure out a way to help them help whom.
Mm-hmm.
it's one thing to sustain them while they're here, mm-hmm. but they want to go back home. How do we continue to, you know, if we were supposed to transition before Dorian to asking the world for material, mm-hmm. because we're going to need a massive influx of material. I mean, yes, you assume people have the money to pay for this stuff. They do not.
Mm-hmm. You mean after Dorian?
Yeah, after Dorian and mm-hmm. before we went into the pandemic.
Okay.
The next phase of the battle was to say, listen, our partners around the world, but now everybody is at a place where it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's difficult to pull on those who were willing or had made commitments mm-hmm. to go to the next phase. Because I know we had made some commitments in Grand Bahama mm-hmm. And some of the rules in Grand Bahama were fixed and, mm-hmm. And grants were giving and stuff. But how do we do that on a massive scale? Even if we say send us the material, we get the people.
So the Christian schools here in New Providence post Hurricane Dorian,
correct,
opening its doors to students from who were impacted in Grand Bahama and Abaco, who would have been attending those same schools, correct, on those islands at a number of 600-700 thereabouts. Migrating here.
Okay.
That's really an eye-opener. And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening into Influencers, your host, Lady Shima. I'm speaking, having a conversation with the president of the Bahamas Christian Council, Bishop Dalton Fernando. There's going to be more on the other side of this break. Please stay tuned. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. Seven Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil. Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with Seven Seas.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is influencer Bishop Dalton Fernando, pastor of New Destiny Baptist Cathedral. Also, of course, we know that he sits as the president of the Bahamas Christian Council. So we're having a conversation today about church and state post-COVID-19 as it relates to the function, the role, the purpose of the BCC. And right before we went into break, you gave a wonderful analogy about the purpose and the function of the BCC, mm-hmm. and talking about how when you apply that medicine, you're drawing out the disease. You're drawing out the disease-causing agent. You're drawing out whatever is causing harm. And if it's drawing it out, then that means, by and large, it's acting as the cure. And with that said, we're talking about how the BCC is acting as the cure, mm-hmm. as it relates to various facets of Bahamian society. What would you say the BCC, how the BCC is acting as the cure in reaching out more specifically to this particular growing community, the LGBTQIA? They're growing within the Bahamas. And of course, they too, of course, have rights, human rights. And of course, they are entitled to having a voice. And generally speaking, the BCC has been viewed as a bat on the head of the LGBTQIA community as it relates to former or past protests and them making a public display with their public celebrations, motorcades, whatever like that. And for those persons who might not be familiar with this more recent acronym, the LGBTQIA, the Q is for queer, the I is for intersex, and the A is for asexual, okay, communities. Speak to that specifically, especially this view of the BCC being seen as a bat over the head. If you're this, you die and you go to hell, and you're just bad. And don't ever display this out in community. We don't want your influence. We don't want your impact. What do you say about that?
I think we have to be careful that we don't fall trapped to the messaging that is programmed from those who don't appreciate that God's love is for everybody, but his standard remains the same. Sin is sin.
Okay.
There's no special bat for that community as different from the fornicators.
Okay.
As different from the murderers, as different. Sin is sin.
Mm-hmm.
As the Christian Council, we will never change God's position on something.
Mm-hmm.
If God says that is wrong, that man should lie with a man, and it's just wrong,
mm-hmm.
and we can't take God's word and twist it and make it right, it is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
However, we love you with the love of Christ. We believe that this same God that saves the fornicator, the same God that saves the murderer, is the same God that can save anybody with anything and any sin.
Mm-hmm.
So never believe that we're out to hurt you. Never believe that we're out to marginalize you or bring you to a place that you do not exist. I think those are things that people put in your message in your head because they're trying to get an anger towards an organization mm-hmm. that they feel has influence. And mm-hmm. so I want to say emphatically, the church position unapologetically has not changed. But we are about salvation and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We mm-hmm. love you with the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm. What about the influence or the potential impact of public display, especially when it comes to our nation's youth, those minds that are still at that stage where, it's just a sponge and taking everything.
It's our job to speak out, and we are watching. We noticed that some books have been changed, and some of the textbooks we've been told by teachers have, in a very creative way, interjected some things in,
it's very true.
In the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to speak out with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to take it a little further, we will take it a little further. We are not in the business of watching things go contrary and just sit back and say, well, Salazar, whatever will be. And mm-hmm. and so when we see decadence on display, we speak out about it. When we see curriculums being changed that does not speak, and then we're not consulted on it. When I say not me, I'm not talking about the council, I'm about the country.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change a curriculum and, my daughter or somebody else's child is going mm-hmm. to school and they bring back homework and you'd be like, when did this happen? Mm-hmm. And
so the BCC was not consulted on that specifically?
We don't either, because the country needs to be consulted on that. How does education change the curriculum without telling the country that we are more inclusive? And then the country saying, well, all right, that's what we want to do, yes or no. And no, the BBC was not consulted. We had to find this out from Christian teachers who are in those classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we went to Astra. Mm-hmm. We control private schools. We won't teach that.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, because you do have a say, not a say. You have the governing say. You have the governing say as it relates to those schools.
So if you come to our school.
But what about being inclusive in a society, though, and not necessarily dictating the information that's broadcasted or shared or taught, but rather impacting the heart of the student and allowing the student to decide, I'm not going to go this way, I'm going to go that way. Yeah, we're being educated.
Let's wrestle with that. The Bible says when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted as a child. If you are saying that you want to give the keys to your car to a five-year-old and not be the adult in the room and say you are not ready to handle this, I expect somebody who is an adult to be able to compute, to be able to make those decisions.
Okay.
But why are you giving this to pre-adolescents?
Okay.
Who haven't really gone through sexuality, haven't formed some opinions. You are forming the opinions for them. You are telling them you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that. You're doing the exact same thing you're accusing us of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you're doing it in a way that, quote unquote, under the banner of inclusivism. And mm-hmm. I think we need to be careful as a society that we don't buy into these messaging that say that you're doing something bad. Because mm-hmm. I remember in years gone, we were talking with teenagers. teenage pregnancy. I mean, we went on a full campaign as a Christian girl. I was very, very young. We went into the schools.
Okay.
I mean, this was a major campaign, and people bashed the council or stay out of people, bedroom business, X, Y, Z.
I remember.
Look at what we've reaped.
True.
We have more single-parent families in our society now than nuclear families. And so if we spoke up and still we got the result. Imagine if nobody spoke up at all and just let it run wild. Then we would have the society that's falling apart. And then and then what we would have said that nobody saw this happening. Nobody was aware that this had some consequences. And under trying to follow the world's dictates, we just did it. We've got to figure out and spend money on ways to change the social fabric of our society by doing more things in parenting classes and what's the importance of an extended family and the male role models in our society. What messages are we sending to our society about men and about their role? And then our women, I mean, they have stepped up and need not to be placed in positions as token position. Our women are real leaders, and they solve real problems, and they should receive the same pay
as
their male counterparts.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. And with that said, let's move on just a little bit and talk about the BCC, the church's impact in society as the cure as it relates to now what's going on with this latest health crisis, of course, the COVID-19. And of course, the BCC gaining increased visibility significantly over the past several weeks as a result of this COVID vaccine investigative committee. I had to sit down and really listen and do some reading. I was very enthralled in listening to the comments that were made on the news. I know that the sitting chair, Pastor Mario Moxie, pastor of the Holmes Harvest Church, and here saying that the investigative committee recommended that all denominations, fellowships, groups, and unit church leaders make their own determination in advising their parishioners as it relates to the risk and benefits of the various COVID-19 vaccines. However, we know that in country, there is only the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine that is available in country. In a local report, March 22nd, the committee said that it sourced its information from periodicals, from media experts, scientific journals, interviews with doctors, a panel discussion with members of the National COVID-19 Vaccine Consultative Committee, and interviews with other members of the clergy. Now, the populace, by and large, were sort of taken aback, a good number of them. When since is it the church's role now to speak out as it relates to vaccination process?
You make my point that sometimes, depending on how things are reported, people could form a conclusion that might not be the reality. We didn't write this report for the country. We wrote this report for the council. And so we wrote this report, as we do everything. Because I was on the vaccine committee, I stepped down as president and allowed the first vice to lead this research. And we asked that committee to go out and research the vaccines, all of the challenges we had with it, everybody's questioning about it in the church. That research panel was to come and report to the council. Why? Because pastors needed to have information that when they talk to their congregants, those are the people we talk to. Really and truly, a lot of people think we like to talk to the press, but we've got a more massive reach when we speak from our pulpits. And so we were gathering that data as a talking points and white paper for our denominational heads, for our pastors. And you know, sometimes we can be so narcissistic, but think about the full-fledged, all of our islands, all of the churches. They're asking questions, and they needed to know, what should be my response, Mr. President? What information do you have? And so we put it together, and that paper was for us. And so
you were speaking to the community that you lead.
Correct. And that paper was for pastors and denominational heads, and it was done through the right way of the council in that they presented it. But then the country asked for the paper. In other words, that was not one that the state asked for that we write to the state. That was just to lay on the table.
What do you mean when you said the country asked for the paper?
the press starts saying, oh, we hear this paper's being produced. It's like a massive leak. We hear this paper's being produced. We need to know what the council has to say.
There are a lot of persons in the press, you know.
And it was this big buildup.
They're in the church.
There was this big buildup, like, oh, you know, this is going to be a big something. And really and truly, I guess a lot of people got let down because they didn't understand the purpose of it. It was just informative that these were pastors who are going to go through this and they're going to make a decision. What were they going to say when mm-hmm. asked mm-hmm. by their congregants, should you take the vaccine? Should you not take the vaccine? What are the pros and cons? Mm-hmm. What are the challenges? Mm-hmm. And then they would come to their conclusion.
Yeah, generally speaking, based on some of the comments that have been made, according to the local news press and, you know, quotes from what members of the committee have literally said, mm-hmm. it sounds as though this particular committee of the BCC is encouraging persons really to get vaccinated. That is going to be more advantageous than it would potentially be disruptive.
I didn't get that from the. I got from the paper that we said that it's not the mark of the beast. The good old ways to buy. These are some of the points.
We don't have religious leaders out there saying that, hey, go and take the vaccine.
And that's their right. But I'm saying as a council, we didn't say that. The paper did not conclude, go there and take the vaccine. The paper concluded, it's your choice.
Did you all not take the vaccine?
Yes. But we took it because we made our decision that we thought it was advantageous for us to take it. We're on the front line. And I can tell you why I took it.
Tell us why you took it.
I'm going to meet more people than the average person. And no matter how I say, you know, we should keep 6 feet next to one, someone's going to hug me. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to come right up in my face and mm-hmm. they're going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I have to protect not only myself, I have to protect my family that I'm going home to. Mm-hmm. And right now, beyond prayer and asking God to move, God has given mm-hmm. wisdom to men to have this vaccine. And so I felt as a husband, a father, mm-hmm. as a leader, it was important for me to take the vaccine, and my entire family took the vaccine.
Your entire family took the vaccine?
Okay,
because I know that I saw on the news where mm-hmm. you took the vaccine and also where the chair of the committee, yes. Pastor Mario Moxie, took the vaccine. Let's talk a little bit about this vaccine, though. Countries mm-hmm. not using the AstraZeneca, according to CNN. AstraZeneca, as COVID-19 vaccine has not yet been rolled out in the United States of America, as the Food and Drug Administration, we know it as the FDA, has only authorized the use of vaccines developed by Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And there are reasons for that. According to a Forbes staff reporter, Forbes magazine, the business Forbes section, AstraZeneca's attempts to gain approval in the United States have stumbled several times due to the missteps by the company, including the release of botched global trial results last year. Last month, AstraZeneca finally released the results of its large-scale trials, claiming 79% effectiveness in preventing symptomatic COVID-19. However, the company found itself in the middle of another controversy just a day later, as the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases put out a release expressing concern about the use of outdated data in the final results of the trial. And AstraZeneca then revised its numbers, which showed its vaccine was slightly less effective at 76% efficacy. And the rollout of the vaccine internationally has been partially suspended following reports of rare blood clots developing in a handful of patients that have resulted in some fatalities. So several countries have restricted people aged under 50 from receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine, who appear to be at most risk from the blood clots. Also, Al Jazeera reports Sweden has said no to the AstraZeneca. Germany has said no. Italy has said no. France has said no. Spain has said no. Denmark said no. Norway has said no. And these numbers are increasing with these first world countries who are saying no to AstraZeneca with reason. So now the committee has sat, you said, and they have come to their conclusion with those persons who made up the committee head. And yet still, this is now what is being said in noted, reliable, verifiable reports concerning AstraZeneca vaccine. Mm-hmm. What are your concerns concerning this? This is major, Bishop.
It is, and I think the press group of the vaccine advisory committee, this has nothing to do with BCC, the vaccine advisory committee and the doctors have answered this in the press corps. They are more suited to deal with the data. And I think the challenge that we might have if I were a person wrestling with this as a professional is, well, if that's the case, why isn't Johnson & Johnson outlawed the same way? Is it because one is made in Europe and one is made in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
I guess some make questions it apples are, to some, apple. Let's make it apple.
There are some
apple.
Question marks that are coming out about the Johnson & Johnson as well.
But if you told. Don't, if you
recently
don't,
that is
what we call is dig into the data.
Mm-hmm.
I always start with this: trust that we have professionals locally that will not stick anything in their arm. We got to where we got because there's some technology that is brand new, and then there's some stuff that is of the way of vaccine. I leave it at that and let the professionals wrestle with that. I think if you dig enough, I've said something just now that would help you realize that as a country, you can either decide to be experimental or go the way of proven vaccine process. We have a proven vaccine process, and there are two types of vaccines. Not all vaccines are the same.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
As you do your research, you will realize that Johnson & Johnson and the Oxford are of the same strategy, and they are being maligned.
You used another word, maligned. I just was going to ask you, do you think they're being played against each other because of the origin geographically?
I think there's a lot
it's
going on.
Economic
there.
Kind of pull and play.
It's a lot going on there.
There's
a lot going on there.
They can't read your face. I'm seeing your face.
Sorry. There's a lot going on there. And I think that you just have to try.
But there is truth to these reports, though, and data as it relates to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
And data with all of the vaccines. And I'm saying I'm saying to you, if you have a trial in the Bahamas and 64 people have mild, and I said trial, you're rolling out the vaccine, you're now up to 27,000, and you're below 100 people that have mild side effects, and no blood clots in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You have to then go through the data to say what was the biological makeup of the people who were getting the clots, what region were they from, and all this data goes to the World Bank, and they keep this up. And so you got professionals who know this, who go through the data, who make informed decisions. They're not just sitting there trying to hurt themselves and hurt the Bahamas. They're trying to do some things that they believe are in the best benefit of the Bahamas. Like I said, post-mortem, when we look back over this, we'll be able to speak more frankly about some decisions that have been made.
Yeah, most definitely, you know. However, I mean, there are professionals worldwide who have looked into the data, who have dug into the data. And as a result of digging into the data, what it is that I just read to you just now,
Are any of them like me and you?
No. No two persons are the same around the world.
So that's why I'm saying let the professionals do that because
that's
why I'm not competent enough to go there. I think I think you name regions and they all have a certain color, they all have a certain make and X, Y, Z. We need data from we need data from our subset.
Okay. I was just going to say as well, too, countries and on the continent of Africa, quite a good number of them.
But they made the decision not from a study because they didn't allow the study in Africa.
This is what I was about to say to you.
It's like saying we don't want it, but we didn't study the data. In other words, we need black people to be involved in the vaccine trial to know.
Well, their reasoning for saying no for it even being in country in the first place is as a result of the data they've seen in other countries.
I'm not qualified
to penetrate our borders.
I'm not qualified to go there, but
understood.
I think some of the decisions were made.
That's understood.
It's like saying they ain't getting it, so I ain't getting it.
No. That's understood. That's understood. But I mean, if you as a leaders within the country, whether it be governmental leaders, spiritual leaders, religious leaders, and you see the kind of data that's coming out worldwide as it relates to a specific vaccine, one in particular, I mean, significantly above all of the others, there should, of course, be some cause for concern. But it is noted, and it has been said, even by Fauci, that yes, when it comes to any one of the vaccines, that there is potentially more good than harm. So let's go to our very, very, very last aspect of Bahamian society now that we're going to be talking about the power of the influence of the cure of the BCC as it relates to what's going on. And of course, I would have to make a reference to one of the bloodiest mass shootings that we've seen in recent history here in the Bahamas, there on Jerome Avenue the other day. It did something to me. When I looked on the TV screen, I looked on my phone, I saw it on Facebook as well, and just watching police officers just manning the gathering of bodies in the body bags. And I was like, how many bags am I looking at all at once? Six of our nation's young men, dead, gone. And of course, it was a 19-year-old and a 2-year-old as well. Thankfully, still alive. And these persons are being killed, shot to death shortly after being released from police custody. I know shortly thereafter, the BCC religious leaders, spiritual leaders stepped in and were praying for members of those families that were impacted, that were affected. Listen, I mean, where do we even begin? Where do we even begin as it relates to crime and particularly more so on what's going on with our young men in this society?
I think we definitely need to focus on our young men. We have to focus also on the systemic issues that they are living in and dealing with that bring them to conflict resolution challenges. We have started as the council to work with some of the international bodies to put together a workshop for all pastors that are interested.
Okay.
I say interested because some people might feel I'm not suited for this because I don't speak the language, or you know, I might not look the role, or XYZ.
Okay.
But we're under the leadership of Dave Burrows, who heads this commission.
Okay.
We're going to put together a workshop on how do we the church respond to our young men in particular that find themselves in gang culture. He has been the pioneer in this in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that led to the College Reef, that led to all the other ones. And so we're thankful that he is a pastor that is in the council and has the wherewithal and the connections around the world to help us walk through this. And he would have put out a video kind of speaking to it. And so we're going to allow him to lead us through this challenging time, him and all of College Reed and all of them, to what should be the church's response and how do we have effective ministries that minister to them and then how do we fund these ministries, where should these ministries take place, are we effectively equipped? All of those things are going to happen under his leadership. And we hope to have, it's not one of those things where you write a paper, just have these workshops.
Yes.
But we hope to have verifiable results.
And influence.
Yes. Because, you know, my heart is really touched because I could think about he became the roughneck pastor.
That's right.
Just by virtue of the same place we were recording, that he grew up in this community. He had a rough life. God came into his life. God changed his life. He became the pastor of Bahamas Faith Ministry. And now he is saying from that high and lofty position,
Isn't that
Mr.
amazing?
President,
I
want to help us to help our young men make a difference.
And he is a fine example of the influence of the church because he was a part of the Guyan culture, and so was Carlos Reed.
Yes.
And now they are at the fore as it relates to, you know, positive transformation with our young men more so in particular. And I'm really pleased and impressed with the work that they are doing as it relates to our young men. And we definitely need more of that. I was glad that when you made mention just now of the workshop, because it needs to be more practical in its presentation, where in everyday life, how do I handle this particular conflict that I'm now faced with? How do we resolve this? And so we need more practical ways and ways of thinking and mentality and impacting and influencing the mindset on how to handle everyday life in a peaceable way.
Amen.
In a peaceable way. And this goes right back to our founding statement as it relates to this conversation today. And that is, you know, the church being the salt and the light. How does it do so effectively? I want to thank you so very much for your time today, Bishop Delton Fernanda. I always enjoy my conversations with you. I find them to be very insightful, very impactful. And of course, you can speak as it relates to the current state of things from your seat and position And so thank you very much for being here, a guest on Influencers.
Thank you, and God bless you. I'm praying the best over you and praying the best over the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Thank you. Until next time, everyone, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Seas. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. ACG Wholesale, with quality service and great prices. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.